Today we begin a short two-part lesson on a topic that we spoke about, preached on in 2010, I believe, an important question, but we've expanded it somewhat. Should I be baptized again? What do the scriptures teach regarding someone being baptized again? And it's an important subject because baptism is essential for our salvation. For any person to be saved, salvation is essential. And that's not what you're going to hear from many who teach that baptism is unnecessary for salvation, such as our Baptist friends, who seem to teach that, along with many others, that it's not necessary for you to be baptized in order to be saved. Or some teach people to be baptized by the wrong authority. For instance, the Mormon Church and the Catholic Church baptize people in some ways, but neither one of those churches have any authority to exist by the Lord Jesus. Did you ever hear the Lord Jesus say, "I will build the Catholic Church"? Did you ever hear him say, "I will build the Mormon Church"? Then why is there a Catholic Church? Why is there a Mormon Church? It's because of men, because of women, Seventh-day Adventists, whatever it is. None of that the Lord said he would build. He said, "I will build my church." They baptized by the wrong authority, churches that the Lord did not build for the wrong reasons. It's not necessary for you to be baptized to be saved. Or they baptize people as infants, and the infant cannot believe in Jesus, cannot repent, cannot confess Jesus as the Son of God, but they baptize the infant anyway, because they claim the infant is born guilty of sin, condemned, not because any acts he has done, but because of what Adam did. Then he is proclaimed guilty by breathing his first breath of oxygen on the face of the earth. He becomes just as much of a sinner as a mass murderer. Isn't that something? Just because he breathed the first breath of life that he has, or she, then they are guilty as anybody, according to the Catholic teaching and according to many denominations. Therefore, they need to be baptized in some way because they will be lost if they die in infancy. Therefore, many have either been baptized, they haven't been baptized at all because they were told it's not necessary to be saved, or they've been baptized in an unscriptural manner. That is, by the wrong authority, in the wrong way, by sprinkling or pouring instead of immersion. For the wrong reason, not for the forgiveness of sins, but for some other reason. And they have been baptized, those who should never have been baptized, the infant, who cannot believe or repent or confess Jesus. We have a New Testament example of people being baptized again, lest we think that this is not a Bible topic. In Acts chapter 18 and verse 24, we read of what happened in Ephesus and then Corinth. Acts 18 and verse 24, "Now a Jew named Apollos, an Alexandrian by birth, an eloquent man, came to Ephesus, and he was mighty in the scriptures. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he was speaking and teaching accurately the things concerning Jesus, being acquainted only with the baptism of John," that is, of John the Baptist. So he was teaching accurately, but he could only teach what he knew. And what he knew was that people needed to be baptized according to what John the Baptist taught, the forerunner of Jesus. Verse 26, and he began to speak out boldly in the synagogue. But when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And instead of rebelling against it and saying, that can't be true, I'm not going to follow that, he learned and he followed and he began to teach those things. Verse 27. And when he wanted to go across to Achaia, that is to southern Greece, the brethren encouraged him and wrote to the disciples to welcome him. And when he had arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace. For he powerfully refuted the Jews in public, demonstrating by the scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. Jesus was the Christ. So this is Apollos teaching the baptism of John in Ephesus until he was corrected. Then he began to teach baptism in the name of Jesus. Baptism, according to John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus, was immersion in water. That part was correct. John didn't teach sprinkling. John the Baptist didn't teach pouring. John the Baptist commanded people by God to be baptized, immersed in water. John 3 and verse 23, John also was baptizing in Anon near Salim, because there was much water there, and people were coming and were being baptized. Why did he need much water? He was immersing people, fully dipping people into the water, completely under the water. So John the Baptist, that baptism that he taught before he, of course, was beheaded, before the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, that baptism that he taught was immersion in water. And that baptism that he taught was for the forgiveness of sins. Mark 1 and verse 3. Mark 1 and verse 3, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make ready the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. That is a quoting from Isaiah chapter 40, prophesying about the coming of John the Baptist to prepare the way of the Lord Jesus. And so what happened? John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. So John's baptism was immersion in water. It was for the forgiveness of sins. All that is good. But there was a problem with it. The problem with it was not by the authority of the Lord Jesus. That was the problem. It preceded the Lord Jesus. Acts 19 and verse 1. It happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the upper country and came to Ephesus and found some disciples. He said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They said to him, no. We have not even heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. Why had they not heard anything about the Holy Spirit? They were taught by Apollos before he learned better how to teach the gospel, before he was better informed and better equipped and better able to teach the gospel of Christ. He had taught them only the baptism of John the Baptist. And he said, into what then were you baptized? And they said, into John's baptism. That is, the baptism that we just spoke about, that John the Baptist had taught the forerunner of Jesus. Paul said John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in him who was coming after him, that is, in Jesus. But Jesus had already come now, and Jesus had already died for the sins of the world. Jesus had already been raised from the dead and ascended back to his heavenly Father and had received authority over heaven and earth. So now the new covenant had been inaugurated through the death of Jesus, now in force, and John's baptism was null and void. It was not to be done. Since the time that Jesus had authority over heaven and earth, where he is reigning even now today. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They were baptized. Somebody said they were baptized again. Really, if you want to be technical, they were baptized scripturally for the first time. Because they never were baptized in the name of Jesus, although he had been given all authority over heaven and earth for several years now. And John's baptism was null and void. Their baptism was right in mode. It had been immersion in water. It was for the forgiveness of sins for the right reason. But their baptism that they had was John the Baptist, which looked forward to Jesus' coming. But it was not done by the authority in the name of Jesus. And they did not have to believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, the death for our forgiveness, and the burial, resurrection, and reign of Jesus as the Christ. So it was not done by the authority of Jesus, and they were baptized scripturally by the authority in the name of Jesus. They were baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of their sins, even though they had already been baptized for the forgiveness of their sins. So it raises the question. If something is wrong in one part of our baptism, then we need to be baptized again. It was for the forgiveness of sins, the baptism of John, but it was not by the authority of the Lord and Christ, the Messiah Jesus. Jesus said after he had been raised from the dead, Matthew 28:18, and Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Somebody says, are people to be baptized in the name of Jesus or the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit? They are equivalent. To be baptized by the authority of Jesus is to be baptized in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And those who claim to baptize by the authority of Jesus, who don't even believe in the Father and the Holy Spirit, or those who claim to baptize in the name of Jesus who don't believe Jesus is God, both are wrong. It is clear. The authority of the Father, Jesus, and the Spirit together. The Father overruling all, Jesus ruling over heaven and earth, and the Spirit cooperating by revealing the gospel and confirming it by miracle. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit is the authority of Jesus for the forgiveness of sins. First preaching of the gospel, Acts 2 and verse 38, Peter said to them, "Repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus by his authority, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That is the blessing of salvation through the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul, Acts 22 and verse 16. Now why do you delay, Ananias said. Get up and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. Wash away your sins through the blood of Jesus in your baptism, contacting Jesus' blood by being baptized into his death. Into his death. Our Baptist friends say, oh, baptism is a symbol that has nothing to do with salvation. Wrong. Baptism is symbolic of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, but it's when we have the blood of Jesus applied to us in baptism. That's the only place where we have it applied in becoming a Christian, and when we are baptized into his death. Romans 6 and verse 3, or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Why did he die? For forgiveness of our sins. Therefore we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. How are we going to walk in newness of life? Because we have been forgiven of the old life. When does all that take place? Baptism. How does the cleansing occur? By the blood of Jesus. When did the blood of Jesus get shed? In his death. When do we come in contact with his death? Through the blood of Jesus. In baptism. Galatians 3 and verse 26. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. They were baptized in the name of Jesus to be joined to Christ, become part of his saved body, added by him upon their repentance and baptism, based upon their belief in Jesus as the Son of God. And so that's an example of those who were baptized again. And we look again at the scriptural teaching of baptism now in the second part of our short lesson. Looking forward to contrasting these scriptural teachings with the writings of men who have perverted many things, including baptism. And we want to contrast those with what we read here. That will be for next week, the Lord willing. The mode of baptism is immersion in water, not sprinkling, not pouring. Baptisma, Mr. Vine says, the Strong's number, G for Greek, 908. Baptisma means baptism, consisting of the process of immersion. Did you hear him? Immersion, submersion. An emergence from babto to dip is used of John's baptism, of Christian baptism. And I don't know what he, really, it's to be technical, it's New Covenant baptism, because no Christian is ever baptized. We are baptized to become a Christian, not because we have already been a Christian. No Christian has ever been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So we will, since Mr. Vine is coming from a denominational point of view, but he says correctly, immersion, submersion, and emergence. Doesn't emerge mean to come out of something? He emerged from the room. That means he came out. So it means immersion and emergence. To go down and to come out. To go down under the water and to come up. Where is sprinkling involved in that? Where is pouring involved in that? And if our hesitant translators of the King James Version in the 1600s had not been so afraid of the Catholic King James, where they just made up a word and called it baptism or baptize. They made an English-sounding Greek made-up type of word that never existed until then, so that maybe there would be some confusion about what it meant, and it might include the Catholic meaning of sprinkling, then maybe it might have been translated immerse or submerge or dip, and we would not be talking about the meaning of baptism. But the meaning of baptism in the Greek is to immerse or dip or submerge. That's what it means. That is, to submerge in water. And it goes along with what we read again in Romans 6 and verse 4, therefore we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. To be buried under the water. Buried under the water. Sprinkling doesn't fit the idea of burial, does it? No. That's sort of a partial burial, is it not? That would be like, the idea would be like throwing a little bit of dirt on your head, I guess, would be sprinkling. If you wanted to bury somebody the way people do with the baptism. The idea of burial again is used Colossians 2 and verse 12. Colossians 2 and verse 12, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. Both buried and raised up fit the idea of immersion, does it not? Buried under the water, raised up out of the water. With Jesus, it was not buried under the dirt. It was buried, though, inside a tomb, completely immersed in the tomb, Jesus, and then coming out of the tomb, raised up. Baptism is immersion. Baptism, according to the Scriptures, again, is in the name of, by the authority of Jesus. Not the Roman Catholic Church, not the Mormon Church. It's by the authority of Jesus. Again, Matthew 28 and verse 18, and Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. We must be baptized by the authority of Jesus. Acts 2:38 again, Peter said to them, first preaching of the gospel, repent, and each of you be baptized, immersed in water, in the name of, by the authority of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That is beautiful, is it not? Not hard to understand. Baptism, a burial and resurrection with Jesus, contacting his blood in his death. Romans 6 and verse 4 again, therefore we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. We must be baptized in the name of Jesus. Galatians 3:27, there in baptism we are clothed with Christ. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. And then we are baptized not into the Catholic Church, Mormon Church, or any type of denomination. We are added by the Lord Jesus to his saved body of people, his one church, when we are baptized in a scriptural way. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, And we were all made to drink of one spirit. So whether Baptist, Catholic, Mormon, none of these churches built and authorized by Jesus, he said his church. If you want to know what his church is, his group of people, well, who they are, how they become his people, how they worship, read the New Testament. What they are called, read the New Testament. And if you see that man or woman is calling them something different, if you see that they're teaching them something different as to how to be saved, how to worship, then get away from that church. It's not Jesus' saved assembly of people. The purpose of baptism, again, is for the forgiveness of sins. No Christian is ever baptized. We are baptized to become a Christian. Acts 2 and verse 38 again, first preaching of the gospel, and Peter said to them, "Repent and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Our Baptist friends have trouble with that passage. He said, repentance is for the forgiveness of sins as well as baptism, immersion in water in the name of Jesus. Those are for looking forward to forgiveness of sins for the purpose of being forgiven. Just like Jesus, when he said Matthew 26 and verse 28, "For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins." Our Baptist friends try to make the Acts 2:38 say that baptism is because of the forgiveness of our sins instead of for. That means that we are already saved before we're baptized. But then when they come to Jesus in Matthew 26:28 saying that his blood is for the forgiveness, not because of the forgiveness, same preposition used there as in Acts 2 and verse 38. They want to leave that as for the purpose of being forgiven, but they want to change it in Acts 2 and verse 38. Why? Because they just deny that baptism is for the forgiveness of sins. If God says that's what it's for, then that's what it's for. Stop changing, perverting, and denying the word that we read, the word of God, and deceiving so many into thinking they're already saved before they were baptized. That's not what the Scriptures teach. Acts 22 and 16 again, "Now why do you delay? Get up and be baptized and wash away your sins." What sins? Wasn't Paul saved on the road to Damascus by the sinner's prayer according to the Baptists? Ananias says, "Arise and wash away your sins," calling on his name. And immediately he got up and was baptized, immersed in water, contacting the blood of Jesus through his death, buried with Jesus, raised up with Jesus, forgiven of his sins to walk in newness of life. 1 Peter 3 and verse 20. 1 Peter 3 and verse 20, "Who once were disobedient when the patience of God kept waiting in the days of Noah during the construction of the ark in which a few, that is 8 persons, were brought safely through the water." Then he says, referring to the ark brought safely through the water, corresponding to that, baptism now saves you. Did you hear those three words? Baptism now saves. Four words. Baptism now saves you. Baptists say it doesn't save us. Who are we going to believe? Peter or the Baptists? Baptism now saves you. Not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience. What is a good conscience for before God? A guilt-free conscience. What is a guilt-free conscience? A forgiven conscience. How is baptism an appeal for a good conscience? Because in baptism we seek the forgiveness of God. The forgiveness of our sins. That's why we can come up out of the water with a clear, good conscience before God, cleansed by the blood of Jesus through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So he says, baptism now saves you through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, confirming that his death was for the forgiveness of sins, in which he has received all authority at the right hand of God over heaven and earth. Colossians 2 and verse 11, and in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. In other words, not the cutting off of the foreskin, but the cutting off of your sins. Men and women are circumcised in Christ by the cutting off of our sins, because in baptism, based upon a penitent confessing Jesus as the Son of God faith, we are forgiven by the blood of Jesus. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all of our transgressions. When were we made alive? When we were buried. And then we rose up to walk in newness of life. We died and were made alive in our baptism. In baptism. And then finally, only penitent believers who confess Jesus is the Son of God should be baptized. Don't bring your poor crying baby down to be sprinkled. It's only when we are old enough to turn from our sins, believe in Jesus and confess him as the Son of God, then be united with him in baptism, to leave the past life and begin a new life, cleansed by the blood of Jesus, clothed in Christ. Mark 16 and verse 15, and he said to them, Jesus said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has said the sinner's prayer shall be saved. I thought the Baptists were right on that. No, apparently Jesus is right on that. Jesus is. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. Somebody said he didn't say who has not been baptized. Obviously, if you don't believe, you're not going to be baptized for the purpose that Jesus has stated, for the forgiveness of your sins. Acts 2 and verse 38 again, Peter said to them, repent. Can a baby repent of anything? Does a baby have anything to repent of? Even if a baby had something to repent of, can they repent? No. Repent and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then finally, the Ethiopian eunuch not only repented of his sins, implied believing in Jesus, but before he was immersed in water as he went along the road to Gaza, he confessed Jesus as the Son of God, that he is equal with the Father and the Spirit, that he is God. Acts 8 and verse 30, 5, Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from this scripture, that's Isaiah 53, he preached Jesus to him, that he was the Lamb of God to be slaughtered for the sins of the world, including the eunuchs. That's who Isaiah had been writing about. As they went along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said to him, "Look, water, what prevents me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "Wait till 2 weeks from Sunday. Just say this prayer." Is that what Philip said to this man? Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." That's what he said. "I believe Jesus is the Messiah. I believe Jesus is God, the Son of God." Then what happened? Did Philip say, "You're saved"? No. And he ordered the chariot to stop. And they both went down into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch. And he baptized him. He baptized him. Why did he baptize him? For the forgiveness of his sins in the name of Jesus. But he confessed Jesus as the Son of God before he was baptized. Acts 8 and verse 12, "But when they believed Philip, preaching the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were being baptized, infants, men, and women." Is there any infant mentioned? Men and women alike. No infant there. Scriptural baptism, the mode of baptism is immersion in water. We must be baptized in the name of, by the authority of Jesus, no one else, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. The purpose of baptism is for the forgiveness, remission of our sins. No one is ever saved before they are baptized. Only penitent believers who can repent, who confess Jesus is the Son of God, should be baptized. No infant should ever be baptized. Should I be baptized again? You have to answer that question. But there is an example in Acts 19 where people were, because they had not been baptized by the authority of Jesus. Think about these things, and next week we will read the deceptive teachings of men contrasted with some of these passages to see how far away from the Scriptures men have gotten and how many who believe they have been saved have not been baptized at all in the way that the Scriptures teach. If you're here this morning and never been baptized into Christ and you are willing to repent of your sins and believe that Jesus is the Son of God, confess Him before men, then why not be washed from your sins by the blood of Jesus, buried with Him into His death, and raised up with Him to walk in newness of life today, forgiven of your sins through your faith in the power and grace of God? Why not do that now before it is too late and begin that Christian life? And those who are already children of God, let us repent and pray continually that we might be forgiven of those things and grow in His grace and His knowledge and be more fruitful in His service. If anyone is subject to the gospel call today, we would encourage you to come now. Won't you come as we stand and as we sing? Let us stand.
The song has been changed to number 174. 174.